T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback. Flashback.
I am a little disappointed in White Sox fans. Like, you got those Fire Tony chants going early.
Fire Tony!
Yeah. Because you guys do yell some funny things.
Yeah, there's a lot of good yelling going on.
White Sox fans yell some funny things during games.
We want machines.
It's great.
We want machines!
I want to be friends with that guy. The two-strike intentional walk.
Get two-strike, Tony!
White Sox fans are funny.
I am a Die Sox white fan.
Tony, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, Tony.
Tony! What are you doing?
It's so true. Like, White Sox fans are funny because a lot of humor comes from pain and bitterness and a chip on your shoulder. Like, honestly, it's a great source of humor. I'm sure you would prefer winning baseball, but it's a funny fan base.
It is a funny fan base, and it's a
passionate fan base.
It is a passionate fan base. It is a snake bitten, especially in their own minds. Fan base,
cynical. You got to prove it.
Massive chip on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Largely as a fan base, and has felt like the little brother to the Cubs for a long time. And that, really, I'm just talking about the people inside the organization. I mean, for the most part. No, but it is. And there's got to be something, too, about, like, they think they're miserable now. Just look back, you know, 10 years.
Well,
or look ahead, maybe 10 years. I mean, that's what makes you think you'll be miserable then. Because there's been a lot of times where White Sox fans have been like, this is the worst time to be a White Sox fan.
Well,
but this is.
This is an interesting moment.
It's not a good time.
Because, so James Fegan of The Athletic, the White Sox beat reporter, got about 2,000 people to participate in a White Sox survey, and he notes in the lead paragraph that introduces it, Jerry Reinsdorf got over 50% approval in voting in May of 2020.
Wow.
And nearly 85% of voters said they were at least satisfied with Rick Hahn at this time last year.
That is remarkable.
Because to me, it's not just texters or callers or people in a survey. What The Athletic is doing is they are compiling data sets to compare it to similar previous year data sets. And so, sure, maybe there is some, you know, fan short for fanatic, the mob is fickle, recency bias that is attached here. I'm willing to concede
that. Or even some overall fan base cynicism. That's part of it.
Of course. That's fine. But it's not a small sample, and it's not a blind data point, because he's got the data on Jerry Reinsdorf from a couple of years ago, Rick Hahn from last year. But, like, so, like, with that as the backdrop, what is your opinion of Jerry Reinsdorf? I want change got 72% of the vote, and 23% of the vote is I'm not satisfied.
And 2 years ago, May of 2020, over 50% approval.
And now less than 5% were either he's doing great or I'm satisfied.
That's what happens when you waste 2 years of your theoretical championship window on a vanity project where you bring in an old buddy and try to right a wrong from 40 years ago.
Right.
That's what happens.
So that's the Jerry Reinsdorf piece. Then Rick Hahn. What is your opinion of Rick Hahn's job performance? Again, last year, 85% were at least satisfied. This year, I'm satisfied. 13%.
Man.
He's doing great, 0.8%. I'm not satisfied, 54%. Woo! I want change, 32%. So we went from last year, satisfied or better, 85%. This year, 86%, I'm not satisfied or I want change. That is a life comes at you fast moment.
That's what happens when you hit an off season with obvious needs, both schematic and in terms of players, and hit the next off season with the same needs, exact needs, after a
right.
year in your window. You didn't fix anything.
So
wow.
that, to me, for owner and general manager, that would, to me, be the obvious headline here. Biggest problem with the White Sox.
Well,
the question was, where does the biggest organizational weakness lie?
Mm.
Ownership was 56%. Front office was roughly 16%. Player development was roughly 13%. Do you think that's too low for player development? That struck me as too low. That they have a lot of talented players, that it doesn't feel like they maximize their potential when they're already in-house.
I think it's a lot harder, a lot easier to be mad at a specific person as opposed to a teaching. So when ownership is there, it's easier to say, I'm pissed at Jerry Reinsdorf for not investing the
There's
money.
There's a name.
Exactly.
There's a name to be mad at.
Yeah, so that'll always skew heavier.
And player development is difficult. It is a difficult and complex thing, and it is not linear.
Right, because you don't have to develop players if you don't want to. You could pay for them. You could pay for already developed players if your players aren't developed and you have unlimited money. But as we know, the White Sox have unlimited money and it's not allocated.
Hmm.
Yeah. Fegan makes the point. They're set up to run a top 10 payroll in baseball for the third straight season. So their failure to seriously compete for a championship as of yet cannot be solely attributed to the lack of spending.
No, it cannot. It is the roster, and this is why Rick has gotten a progressively rougher ride, much to Shane's dismay, is that the roster was constructed in a way that really hamstrung them last year with a bunch of dudes playing left field and right field that had no business playing out there.
Yeah.
Nine DHs, you know? And so, and now the roster construction is better, but there's still some issues there. And the depth is not where it needs to be, which does get addressed at a different question later on. So, yeah, Rick's approval has gone down, and justifiably so.
Yeah, justifiably so. So those were my biggest takeaways. First of all, an appreciation for doing it and not just doing it as a blind thing, but doing it consistently year over year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stark drop in a recent period of time for Rick and Jerry specifically. And then I thought player development a little low. What about you?
So basically, and you've done a good job there of as has Fegan of showing what was squandered, the goodwill and the excitement that we have felt on the daily basis slowly get chipped away or be railed at angrily.
Yeah.
Because people just got progressively angrier and more despondent. And the numbers are right there to show you in terms of the survey. Like they had a real opportunity to own the town and even just to give their fans some bliss, like a great couple of years of busting ass at the top end of your baseball, you know, spectrum. And it didn't happen. So that's the first thing. And then all the pressure is on the manager. Because after they talk about the offseason, there's a couple other things. What did you think of the Pedro Grifol hire? Cautiously optimistic at 66%. There's another 21% that are fully optimistic. So that's 87% who are like, okay, all right, yeah, let's give it a go. And then how much impact are you expecting from Grifol and his coaching staff? There's getting a talented group on track. That's 16%. It's largely on the players to improve is 65.7%. Now that is a lot on the players because to me, it is on Grifol, that talented group back on track. We've talked so much about that. Yes, it's on the players, but a manager can do a lot. And I realize in looking at these numbers and thinking about it that I have to admit to a personal goal here about Pedro Grifol.
Okay.
I want his effect to be what I perceive that it can be because I do.
You want managers to matter?
I do believe. I know that managers matter, but I do want another data point to prove that. I know in general that managers matter. I know that to my core. But I want another data point to show it, and it would be the inverse of what the last 2 years have felt like and been, and so many others have said loudly, that the manager was such a massive detriment the last 2 years. And we don't get too much pushback on that, but I really do believe that the manager has been a massive detriment. And I wonder what would have happened if Pedro Grifol was dropped into this group in March of 2020.
If they replaced Rick Renteria with Pedro Grifol.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the great sports talk questions. It's an unanswerable question, right? We don't have time travel.
And we're not going to get that answer this year or next year because it's not, because things have changed. Abreu's gone. Players have been emboldened or decayed or changed or whatever.
Yeah, guys have gotten older. Guys have had injury. Dylan Cease has emerged as a Cy Young caliber player, right? Mm-hmm. So there's been positives and negatives and all of that. I think that those two things, largely on players to improve, and it's on Pedro to get a talented group back on track, they are one. You know, like the manager will get outsized blame and outsized credit in both scenarios, you know, and the players, it's why they make, if they're great, $15, $20, $25, $30 million a year, and a baseball manager makes $3 or $4 million and is in or maybe 5 or 6
mm-hmm.
and they're extensions of the front office and that sort of in a modern game. Like, the players matter so much more than the managers, but that doesn't mean that the manager doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that it doesn't mean that a manager can't sap all of the energy out of
it. So that's a good point. So the 65% that say it's largely on the players to improve and the 16.7% that it's Grifol's responsibility
to get the players
get
back
on track. That's conversational and anecdotal. And
one cannot be true without the other.
Yeah,
right. Like I think
that's true.
Like right, if the players play well this year, Pedro Grifol is going to get credit for that. That is just a fact, right?
Yeah.
Like he will get credit for culture, for new manager bump, infusion of energy,
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff. If he doesn't, he will get criticism for not getting the most out of a talented roster that he said is ready to compete now. And the players will, it maybe will be somewhat softened to him because they'll be like, damn, they weren't good for Tony and they're not good for him. So maybe like the heat on the players will turn up a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you might feel like you get a little clarification in that regard this year. And what I'm admitting to is my hope that the clarification is managers matter, and that these guys are better than what they showed.
Yeah.
Because I believe Yoan Moncada is better than what he showed.
Well, because he's shown stretches of being much better.
Yes.
Than it, right? We've seen it from all of these guys. We've seen batting champion, gold glove caliber, center field, right? I mean, Luis Robert last year before the season was like the third favorite to win American League MVP.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like the industry believes
yeah.
that he can be one of the five most talented players in all of baseball.
I don't want Yoan Moncada's legacy to be, my God, that was an MVP caliber talent who got paid and then, wow, things went away and there were whispers and questions about whether he cared and the commitment yeah. was, you know, you don't want that to be somebody's legacy.
No, but I just think those things are very linked. And one cannot really get credit without the other getting credit, and one cannot get blame without the other getting blamed. And so, but Grifol's in a great spot. He's in a great spot. He's replacing the Hall of Famer that nobody respected. You know, you're like, you don't want to follow the legend, you want to follow the guy who follows the legend?
Yeah.
That is assuming that the legend was great. This is like, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf's approval rating plummeted largely because of his how beholden he was to Tony.
Yeah, I'm realizing there's going to be a lot of levels to it for me, but I'm a Pedro Grifol fan of a high order right now. We'll see what eventually annoys my baseball sensibilities
yeah.
from him and what's going to come up and
yeah.
what we'll see. But in terms of the guy and the way that he came off, and then great stuff on Shane's podcast, Bourbon and a Buddy, that people should check out.
These guys that are the best in the world, and they drive Mercedes too, man. And there's a reason why they drive them.
You know, and then also I have this personal admitted bias, and you could call it a Tony Vendetta, or you could call it just a baseball, a truth that I want confirmed about managers mattering. And the process mattering, man. Just imagine if Rick was able to do the process that he did in 2020, if he was actually able to do the process that he wanted to do and find the guy that he wanted to do and hire him The whole thing might have been different.
A whole thing might have been different. Yes, it's the type of thing that you'll get some answer to. And I think you can have some peace, because I can see this is bothering you at some level, of like your baseball sensibility of like, managers do matter. It's a question of how much.
I know.
And the last manager had an outsized negative impact, right? That's an abnormal way to sink a baseball team, right? If we say, like, in the best case scenario, a manager costs you 3 or 4 wins downside, and then in best case scenario, they maybe get you 3 or 4 extra wins upside. That seemed to be an extreme downside example. Because what did you call him? The energy vampire?
Energy vampire.
Yeah.
He was an energy vampire who came in and sucked it all away from the fans and from a lot of the players, from the chemistry, from all of it.
Yeah.
So that was an extreme negative. So
he's got to be better than that.
Is that what he said?
That was it.
That is what he said.
Oh my
Texter
God.
Says, where's my respect for Andre Drummond? Talk Bulls. Oh, we're talking Bulls at 4 o'clock. Might not be exactly how everyone else is talking Bulls these days, though. That's coming up. It's Park and the Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.